Hello everyone, welcome to Starbucks at Birch Hanger Services, a place that you come to know quite well when you follow football teams away from home. My name is Michael Bailey, I'm with Chief Eastern Daily Press Norwich City writer Paddy Davitt on our way back from Norwich City's FA Cup exit, third round replay at Southampton. This is of course the Pinken.com Norwich City podcast. So Norwich lost 1-0, Pad. The FA Cup dream is over for another year. Did it hit you hard?
Devastated, yeah. Still trying to come to terms with it. Still trying to come to terms with why we needed a replay. Why Stephen Naismith had to head that ball in the goal at Carr Road. Because I feared the outcome. And sadly, without trying to be wise after the event, as plucky and as battling as they were never going to get through, I didn't think. And I suppose blessed relief it didn't go to extra time and penalties for the same outcome. But yeah. Concentrate on the league now, mate. Lord knows they need to concentrate on the league.
Yeah, I give us 2 weeks of that and we'll need a distraction from the league again probably. But it was I couldn't help the feeling that the whole exercise seemed to be a damning indictment of replays at the moment, or at least sealing the draw and changing the FA Cup, because clearly Plymouth against Liverpool, full house, great occasion, brilliant. This replay at Southampton, 13,500 there, even though they're offering £12 tickets. Obviously a very different situation to Carrow Road in the original fixture, but the same outcome, just a game devoid of energy, of importance, of relevance and of atmosphere. It's just one of those occasions.
Yeah, sad in a way, and we don't need to open up a whole wider debate about the FA Cup and what it means now to people, but you know, a combined 25,000 to watch these two ties, and I think that's irrespective of the whole debate around the ticket pricing at home. You know, it was £12 for the Southampton fans and they hardly turned up in their droves, so I just think Alex Neil was asked about it in terms of did he need a replay after the game. This was on Wednesday night. He said no, and then added that he would personally have liked to have seen it settled at Carr Road to a finish, i.e. extra time and pens. And I think that's probably the prevailing view now. I know there's this debate about scrapping replays. I wouldn't be averse to that. And your point, I think, is valid about Premier League teams and maybe seeding them or maybe making them play away from home in the earlier rounds, because... And this is coming from a Coventry fan whose greatest day in my club's history was winning the FA Cup, but what we see now in the FA Cup isn't what it used to be. And you know, in terms of Norwich, then I don't think there's too many Norwich fans now over the last 15, 20 years would have any real affinity to the FA Cup because they've performed so poorly as a club. So it was a convenient inconvenience. It's out of the way now. Let's focus on Wolves, mate.
Yes, indeed. Well, yeah, as Norwich City fans go, basically I'd say there's probably one run to the semi-finals in 1959 and two semi-finals where Norwich didn't really show up. That's not a great FA Cup record, really, and then the odd sporadic moment away from that. So in terms of FA Cup, and in terms of the game, I don't know really, I'd love to cover the incidents, but nothing really happened until Shane Long bundled home a winner in the second minute of injury time at the end of the match. It was the same minute Lincoln beat Ipswich the day before, and as an actual entirety of game and action, there wasn't much going on. So why don't we skip straight to this, which is Alec Neil's post-match interview, some of what he had to say.
I think for the guys and how much effort they put in, how disciplined they were, and obviously the fact that if you look at, I've got sort of guys playing out of position really, didn't have any fit central midfield players. Ben Godfrey's been used as a centre back for the majority of the season for the 23s, gets his start in there. Robbie goes in there for me, you know, and I thought they worked extremely hard. I thought they did as much as you could have hoped from them really, you know, and I think the one chance we really get to go and try and win the game, crosses maybe just got a little bit too much on it for Kyle, and that was a great opportunity for us to try and take the lead, and if we did that it would have gave us something to hold on to. We maybe only think 10 minutes to go, there's no questions, we'd have much rather went up the other end and got the win in the last minute. But I think if you go into extra time you're desperate to win the game then, you know, because you know you've got that extra 30 minutes in your legs, particularly for guys like Russell, Evo, Robbie Brady, who looked as if they'd sort of ran their course. But unfortunately, we had to make some substitutes before that. You know, Josh was feeling his hip. Bed gone through, sort of ran himself into the ground. And Kyle as well was taking cramp. So And that was purely because of the amount of effort these boys put into the game. So I was extremely pleased with them. I think this level suits us to a different degree. I mean, I spoke about it throughout the season because I think the Championship is up and at them, fight, battle, scrap. And I think sometimes that doesn't suit us. You know, whereas I think when it's more a tactical game and we can have our game plan and we know what we're doing, we seem to perform better. But listen, we need to have that other side to our game because the reality is we're in the Championship, and to get out of that league, you're going to have to fight your way out at times. So that's certainly something we'll be looking to improve on. But all I can judge the boys on tonight, and I thought they did really well.
I guess if we were going to take the positives out of things, Pad, which is not our job, but we're going to do it for a moment. Ben Godfrey, we had a first start from him. We had a first senior appearance from Ray Grant as well. I think they were the two youngsters. Everyone else who played has pretty much established themselves one way or another. But those were the two sort of interesting parts of it. And Ben Godfrey playing central midfield, which, as Alec touched on, they want to play him at right centre-back or even right-back. But I thought he looked pretty good in midfield. And that's where he played for York as well when they signed him.
Again, in the context of what was a fairly low-key, low-tempo affair, but he didn't look out of place. You know, he's sharing the pitch there with some very expensive footballers, and he's 18, 19. Physically, he's already there. He's an absolute unit, and that athleticism, I think, has been missing. You know, we've had this debate all through the season. Central midfield areas. Alex Tetti is nowhere near what he has been in the past. Graham Dorans isn't fit for purpose, in my opinion, in terms of the Championship teams who want to get in their faces and upset them and knock them out of their rhythm. Johnny Arson, beset by injuries, and you can go on and on. Louis Thompson, Matt Jarvis, they just haven't had that dynamism and that energy. Only really when Yusuf Malumbu, if I can say the word, has been a long day already.
Lumbalu, I like that.
Yeah. But only really when he's partnered with Tete do I ever feel this season, I'm thinking Derby away, Brentford away, they actually have the legs and the energy to get around the centre of the park. And it's a cliche, but you lose out in that area of the pitch, you're going to lose more games than you win, particularly in the Championship. So, you know, Godfrey might be a bit of a shining light at the end of the tunnel, but as you rightly said, Alex Neil doesn't see him as playing in that position. So I don't think you're going to see too much of Ben Godfrey in the centre of the park, but it certainly did for me underline that is what they're missing. And by hook or by crook, they need to find it, and very quickly, if they're going to salvage anything from this season. And I think the reality is they should already be looking towards next season now and planning for what they need to adapt to be able to cope with what they singly have failed to cope with so far, which is young energy, aggressiveness, maybe not as technically gifted, but certainly willing to knock Norwich out of their stride. Until Alex Neil solves that, we're not going to make any progress, I don't feel.
Indeed. An interesting line, although he did clarify it from the radio interview, did, in terms of him feeling that they're more suited for a Premier League campaign, which, you know, we'll maybe get into that debate another day. And I still think there's a question mark over how much Alec Neil trusts youngsters and trusts in playing them, because other than Jacob Murphy, I don't really see anyone else he's managed to really, really bring on. And then there's a question about how well he's managed Jacob in terms of maybe playing him too much as well. They're all big debates. A word for Russell Martin playing at left. Well, he played a back five. Russ was on the left-hand side of that. Alec Neil kind of broke it down into a straightforward. He had Josh Sims to mark. It was one against one. He did all right. That was what I asked him to do. And that's sort of not quite how it works, is it? If you're playing on the left side, you're quite heavily right-footed and you're being asked to play in a shape and do bits and bobs. Or was literally it just defend, just keep them out tonight, boys?
Yeah, I mean, that was the most, in my view, the most extreme example of how few resources he had to play with. We don't need to click them through them all, but injuries and availabilities, in Tetti's case, protected him in terms of the disciplinary threshold. But yeah, to put it mildly, he looked like a fish out of water. Alex Neil said he played there against Swansea last season. If he's talking about the away game at Swansea, they got beat there, didn't they?
He got ran around by Mo Barrow? Can't remember his first name.
Yeah, basically, let's just say he didn't cover himself in glory then. So I think it was a tall ask for him to. But he was solid enough.
Did what he could do, didn't he? Yeah. I mean, you know, it's not Russ's fault.
But ultimately, if you're saying that him and Ivo Pinto last night were wing backs, then that's only one facet. The wing back needs to provide the width and get forward, and Ivo Pinto, that's naturally his game, and we saw a couple of examples of that in the first half, less so in the second half. I thought Russell Martin, I don't remember him crossing the halfway line that often, so to me that was unbalanced, but you know, it was needs must, and you know, he felt a little bit for him. I actually thought the lads in the middle, I thought Ryan Bennett was quite prominent, you know, they put a lot of balls in there in the last 20-25 minutes, and him and Bassong, I thought, stood up to that. But as always with M2, there's always, you feel, an error, and I think the pictures are fairly conclusive. You know, Long has got above Bassong in the 92nd minute, shouldn't be happening, and all it takes, particularly at this high, at the highest level, is one chance, one mistake, one lack of concentration, and you get punished. And again, that's another recurring theme. Those two seem to cough up chances, and so it was on Wednesday night.
Yep, absolutely. I'd guess Yusuf Malumbu sitting watching the Democratic Republic of Congo in action will please Alec Neil. That seems like a very fruitful use of his time, of course. I still really haven't got my head around why James Maddison wasn't available. I know that wasn't really the position Norwich were short of, but if someone can explain to me exactly why it wasn't some sort of weird administrative error that they didn't preempt they might need him, which I guess they didn't. They didn't realise there'd be so many players out for a replay they probably didn't think they'd have, but it still strikes me as completely unavoidable. Welcome back to the Pinken.com podcast. Before we get back to the discussion, think you're the best at fantasy football? Do not wait until the end of the season to find out. Put your fantasy football knowledge to the test, people, and win cash every week at DraftKings.co.uk. Apparently, DraftKings is the world's number one destination for one-day fantasy football for cash. Now, you can go to DraftKings.co.uk/pink now to pick a team and enter this Saturday's contest for a shot at winning a share of $200, which I would imagine is probably worth more in terms of pounds now than when whoever wrote this down wrote it down. So get in there. That is the address, DraftKings.co.uk/pink, to play free. Anyway, well, that's the game. Let's put that to bed now. We know what's coming up as well. Let's just touch a little bit on transfer stuff, because Martin Olsen's gone. That's confirmed. £4.5 million reported fee to Swansea. He said nice things. He's got an extra year in terms of his contracted football now at Swansea. Good for Martin. Norwich lacking a left back. And Robbie Brady is clearly, there are discussions going on, and Norwich are holding the cards and presumably waiting to do something. We're waiting on them sorting out some replacements, I guess. Is that it?
Yeah, well, I mean, take him literally at his word. Wednesday night, post-match, he says they probably need to move another one on before they can bring some reinforcements in. That might be partly financial. It also might be partly this kind of jigsaw of positions in the squad, and whoever that one is, I mean, you would think, in all probability, it looks like Brady at this stage, given that he's confirmed also last night that there is interest, there is dialogue, and it's really at the stage now where will those clubs meet Norwich's valuation? And it's fairly clear to me that Burnley are one of those clubs. He was quite open about that last week, that there'd been interest from that area, and looks like Sunderland might be the other club. So, you know, if Norwich are hoping to get a little bit of an auction going for Robbie Brady, then that takes time. And if they are, as they have stated, they're in a position where outs dictate ins, then we might have to wait a little while longer. But certainly, you know, certainly if you're to lose Robbie Brady in the wake of Martin Olsen and Harry Toffolo is out at Scunthorpe, then that is a primary area for reinforcement. And clearly, to me, my reading of it and my reading of previous windows is they will have things ready to move and targets, and they'll have had discussions about those targets with agents, with clubs direct, but none of that can be basically enacted until they do what they need to do out the door. So it's pretty imperative now. You know, I think we're approaching the midway point of this window. We do not need a situation where deadline day and we're still waiting to see what they do, because I think in the current climate that would pour more fuel on the bonfire.
They have to get this right, and you know, if they sell two players and then don't get the incomings right, that says absolutely nothing about about their ability to organise themselves and also how desperate they must be for the money. And I know you've said this to me as well, that the idea they're being linked with a 28-year-old Bradford left-back, given they've just loaned a 21-year-old left-back playing at a team in League One that's top of the league, rather than Bradford being a few places below them. So why not keep hold of Harry Tuffolo, unless you think he's not good enough?
Well, that's the conclusion you have to draw, because... really, who's the better prospect out of that two? And that's obviously only just speculation regarding the boy Meredith, but if there is any actual, you know, contact or interest, should I say, from Norwich's act, that's going to be a very difficult one to see, how he is seen as a better bet than Harry Tuffolo. But ultimately, he's the manager and he has to make decisions. He's obviously made decisions on who he wants to offload, but that's only one part of the equation. Now it's for Jez Moxey and potential suitors to be found and the finances to be right, and this is the whole problem now. It's not by any stretch of the imagination straightforward that what Norwich want to do is going to come off. We've seen it in previous windows, but it's imperative in this window they do get it right and they do move players out and they do bring players in, because that squad isn't fit for purpose. I have to keep repeating myself, and I think very rapidly, we're not already there, we're at the stage now where this season's gone and it's rebuilding, and the sooner they embark on that rebuild, and we're not talking tinkering around the edges, we're talking wholesale, I feel, then the better, because they've basically, to my mind, squandered any legacy they had coming down at the start of this season, and any lingering advantage is rapidly going to evaporate in the next season. So that work has to start now. If you accept that the playoffs are beyond them now, then I think we'll probably rapidly reach that point within the next two or three games. Neil himself had called this three-game stretch, starting with Rotherham, following on Wolves, then Birmingham, as definitive. So at the end of that stretch, if they haven't got what they need to and they've already lost the first game, then I think the reality is we're in a massive rebuilding phase, and this window now, we need to see the beginnings of that process, because if the window shuts, they haven't done the business they need, then the next 4 or 5 months are going to be very painful. We're just going to be limping into the summer, basically.
Indeed, and of course, don't forget, we are now aware that season ticket prices have been frozen and people will be deciding whether they want to shell out another £500 for another year of football. Just a bit of admin, we did a few videos last night in around St Mary's. You can see those on the Pinken Facebook page. If you put in the handle at The Pinken, that will get you onto the Facebook page. Also the Twitter handle, of course, which is at Pinken, as I'm sure most of you know. And if you want to subscribe to this podcast so it arrives direct to you, then you can do that on iTunes. Just search Pinken Norwich City, one of those two should turn up. Or you can subscribe on Audioboom as well, which is audioboom.com/thepinken. There you go, doing my admin job. Sergi Canos, we actually saw him last night, Pad, for a little bit. Did he put money on his transfer value or take it off?
I think you know the answer to that. That's a rhetorical question.
No, I mean.
Yeah, no, difficult. He looks a young man shot of confidence. Whether you think he's been handled rightly or wrongly by the manager, but he doesn't look like a player who's anywhere near Jacob Murphy's level, or even Josh for that matter. So, given there's clearly interest from Brentford, I think that's a deal that'll get done, and we'll be waving goodbye to Mr. Canos, and you can debate the merits of that all day long, but on that evidence he's not going to impact positively on Norwich's season between now and the end of it. So sad state of affairs, really, because he certainly arrived with the pedigree and a season under his belt, dare we say, at Brentford in the Championship. So maybe to go back to your point about management of younger players, we need to look at that. It's not all on the young man's shoulders, is it? If it hasn't worked out as a move, but as I say, on what we saw last night, albeit hard to make a definitive judgment, but he's not kicked on at all this season. So yes, I think if the money's right, he will be going.
Yeah, I have no doubt I'll be bringing that up at some point when we get close to it. So that just leaves Wolves, of course, which Norwich fans don't really like Wolves. That's a point for when they come to Carrow Road anyway. But this Wolves is managed by Paul Lambert, just to add that little dimension. And Paul Lambert, who will be desperate to get one over, he's always desperate to get one over Norwich, I get the impression. He loves it.
And he's unbeaten, if I'm not mistaken, in all his meetings previous with Villa. So he'll want to keep that run going. It's really set up for watching through the fingers of the hand, I think, on Saturday, you know, because Norwich are limping into that game. They've got all these injuries, unavailabilities, team not playing well. crowd who are not happy with what they've seen and have now got to the point where they're quite happy to express that dissatisfaction. We saw the start of the Derby game before Oliveira whacked that goal in. That felt that could turn, following on obviously from what happened at the end of the Huddersfield game before Christmas. Heaven help us if a Lambert team go in front at Carrow Road. I think that could get quite ugly, and that's not really on a human level. That's not something you want to see Neil have to go through, but that's the bed they've made themselves. So, you know, it's another big game. And to give them their due at Carrow Road, they've normally managed to find a way. Okay, Huddersfield, they got beat that night, but I think more often than not, they've managed to produce at Carrow Road, so they need another performance. But even if they get to a positive result, is that papering over cracks? For me, it is. So, you know, brief respite rather than a turning of the corner, I'm afraid, in my opinion.
Can't wait. It's a question mark even over what they've got to play for, given their 8 points. 8 points off the top six. All right, then. Well, we'll put it to bed there. Thanks, Pad. You can have your coffee now, as can I, as we will be back after the game against Wolves. And we'll see if we have anything positive to report. Thanks, everyone. Don't forget all the normal stuff at pinkin.com ahead of the game, during the game, and afterwards, too. We'll see you on the other side.